740 at DWS, Dave Gentry, Elizabeth Hess, and Carl Foundation's Dr. Jim Leonard with us this morning. He and Elizabeth have been talking shop here for the last few minutes.
That's always fun to hear. We have a long history. He's known my dad 30 plus years, yeah.
So your dad got out of surgery yesterday. Everything's hunky-dory.
Tuesday, yes. Everything's fine. Thank you for asking. I will pass that along. We brought Dr. Leonard in, though, to talk about, I'm very excited for this, and I know you are. It's 7 years in the making. The first medical doctorate program in the nation to bridge engineering and medicine. Tell us a little bit about the history before we get into the logistics.
Yeah, boy, 7 years went by in a hurry as we were talking. To think that the first class will be here July 2nd of this year. So this all started with a discussion. It all started with changes, interestingly, for the university in funding. The research funding was moving from National Science Foundation towards NIH as we all became more interested in our health. And so how do you keep your engineering college relevant when they don't necessarily have a medical school or even a teaching hospital that they're affiliated with? Well, they have to leave town or that sort of thing. So that was a driver from the university side. From the Carl side, what an opportunity to really raise the bar of physician scientists. We've had great docs forever, but very clinically focused. And all of a sudden, we could bring in a different sort of physician, and we have a few here already, that stand on both sides of the academic world as well as the clinical world. And so we saw how that would improve our local health care. And for the community, obviously, we hope there'll be a number of jobs and startup companies and things that really help the economy. So that's what really kicked off the dream. And as I was saying, it was a lot of people didn't really buy on for quite a while. And I knew we were finally making a lot of headway when all of a sudden it was not Phyllis and my med school anymore. It belonged to a whole bunch of other people, and they were telling us what it was going to look like and what it was going to do. And here we are.
As people started to slowly buy into this whole concept.
Absolutely.
And now the college has relatively low operating costs compared to other medical schools. Many of its faculty members are U of I researchers. We're already on campus. Tell us a little bit about who will be running the day-to-day operations and who will be teaching.
Sure. So you have to have accountable people. And when the LCME, which is one of the last sort of hurdle certifying-wise, looked at the school, you have to have people there who can answer the student needs, who can oversee things. And so you have full-time people within the school, but we've kept that really to a minimum, if you will, rather than get real top-heavy administratively. And so then all of the teaching tasks fall to our clinicians and the professors that are already there. I would tell you, frankly, academic medical centers aren't going away, whether it's in Chicago or the big cities. But we do have to find a way going forward, in my opinion, of how we're going to teach our young people differently and more efficiently using the buildings that are there and the faculties that are there rather than just keep adding on.
And the school is set to open in July. You'll have your first class. You've received 1,000 applications for 32 slots in the first class. How did you cull through those and pick those 32?
Isn't that amazing? So we had committees that went through, and again, it wasn't just about academics. Obviously, there are filters at each step, and we're very much about the quantitative sciences. So you'll see mathematicians, you will see a number of bioengineers, you will see general engineers, electrical engineers, and so that becomes the first filter. Then you look at the grade points, the MCATs. And once you get through all of that, then the tough part of it starts, because then we began to assess for curiosity. We began to assess for community involvement and really look for characteristics that, quite frankly, medical schools haven't always looked for. So we've tried to raise the bar on multiple fronts, and we have.
Another aspect of community involvement is financial, and Carl Health System is going to carry the financial load for the first few years, pledging $100 million over 10 years, as well as $1.5 million annually for operating costs. Past that, do you seek help from the community, from foundations and corporations. How are you going to fund it?
Yes. So the funding going forward, we really anticipate, and you know, everybody is very careful with their money, whether it's people or corporations or foundations, and we understand that. So we have to prove ourselves up front that we really do have a product and that things are really being generated from a research standpoint. But yes, we are going to need outside funding, and we anticipate hopefully some from the community. They've been very generous around the scholarships, but across the entire world, quite frankly, these students are very unique. As I say, their protoplasm is really amazing as I looked at the group that's coming in. And they will be setting the tone in research and health direction for coming decades. And so a number of companies as well as even countries will be very interested in these graduates.
Carl is expanding, and you're already in the move-in phase at Carl at the Fields. The parking lot is full. You're consolidating a lot of your buildings. First, 1,200 administrative support employees began relocating to the first building. When it's all said and done, what is going to be out at the Fields, and about how many people are you going to be housing out there?
So when it's all done is probably 10 years from now. But when it's all done, let's say over the next year or so, the first building is Carl at the Fields, which is a 300,000 square foot administrative building, which you just described. It consolidates 12 different locations in Champaign, Urbana, and Savoy, where we were renting space. And what we found, and this was, quite frankly, one of our vice presidents a few years ago, this project started, that by consolidating all of those leases, and we're all aware with your checking account, you're getting zero interest. Mm-hmm. Well, you can borrow money pretty cheap as well. And so we found that we could actually build the building, borrow the money, and pay it off over 30 years and have seven figures available every year in savings that we can put towards healthcare. So that was the first driver. And the second driver was getting 1,200 people together to where they could have lunch, they can talk. And so rather than somebody faceless on the phone, it has already made significant improvements in our customer service and interactions and relationships.
You know, and if people haven't been by out there, it looks like a small city at this point.
It does. We're not quite up to 1,200 yet. Mm-hmm. Health Alliance was the last group to move in, and they're about halfway there. But you think of the construction jobs over the last year. You said what else is there? The Hilton franchise is putting a hotel in, and the steel's up on that. Green Street Development is putting in sort of a town center area where there'll be retail as well as apartment buildings.
And you mentioned the collaboration between Carl and Christie. So
absolutely.
There's going to be a joint, is it a surgical facility? Or?
So what you'll see is there's actually three buildings, except they'll all look like they are connected because they are. And so there'll be a medical office building that has Carl on it. There'll be a medical office building that has Christie on it. And in the middle is a new ambulatory surgery center, because our one on Mattis Street wasn't big enough with the needs, and our interaction with Christie has been fantastic. And so we're putting that out there, which we think from an access standpoint and increase in size is, again, very exciting.
And IT and human resources, a lot of that, are you relocating people from the center campus on University, or is it mostly the outlying areas and offices?
Mostly the outline, although you are correct. The corpus of IT department and some of those support functions will be out there and travel into the main campus as we need them. Like my office will stay mainly at the main campus because that's where most of the action is, although I do have a space out there and I'm there a couple days a week. So.
Okay. Can we have him back, please, right after the medical school opens?
That sounds like a great idea. We'd love to hear
I'd love to come. Then we can talk about the people who are here. I can tell you they're going to knock your socks off. The only thing like this, as we looked at it, was MIT and Harvard, where they are accepted to Harvard Medical School, and then they go spend time over at MIT. That's different than being admitted as a future MD engineer. Into a curriculum.
So we're in good company, Harvard and MIT.
And it's exciting that we're just about there, too. Mm-hmm. So.
Yes, yeah. It's people are probably setting up their U-Hauls to come in.
Congratulations.
All right. Thank you.
Dr. Jim Leonard, from Carl. Thank you for your time this morning.
Oh, thank you. Thank you.
Appreciate it.
We got more coming up on DWS.